My neck bone's connected to my suck bone. It's Skeleton Crew on Amigos, everything Amiga. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Amigos. I'm John.
I'm Aaron.
And today, Aaron, we're talking about Skeleton Crew.
No kidding. I gathered that, yeah.
You know, Aaron, as I was playing this game this week, this is one of these isometric battle games.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm playing one of these here and one on R. Sinclair this week, the double.
The double trouble. Yeah. There was a voice that started whispering in my ear.
Oh, yeah?
Okay.
Maybe your hat's on too tight.
But it might have been. And that voice said to me, maybe you should get into Warhammer 40K.
Oh, that voice is... That voice is going to cost you a lot of money, Boat.
Have you ever had any experience with the war games, Aaron?
Well, I mean, I played, you know, it depends on your perspective. I played a lot of, like, Battletech and stuff. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think that counts.
I've played, like, Axis and Allies, but if you count that. But Warhammer, I've had I need a cup of coffee, like a shot of espresso.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not my bag, if I'm honest.
Well, it's not really the Warhammer. They have a Middle-earth version. A Lord of the Rings game workshop game called Middle Earth Strategy Battle Game. It rolls off the tongue.
That's a real clever title, Boat.
Yeah. And I was looking online, and there's people that are real into it. Okay.
Uh-huh.
They've built Mordor in their basement.
Oh, yeah.
And they've got all the models, and they're moving them around. And I started thinking about, yeah, I could buy some models.
You know, and the thing is, here's the thing about Warhammer and generic fantasy fight game, whatever it was called.
Yeah.
Generic fantasy fight game is not bad.
It's not bad.
That could be like we can rip them off with that. But like the game, I've noticed over the years that the gameplay is irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about painting those little suckers and having a horde of them and then having some kind of crazy. It's sort of like model trains. It's very similar.
Yeah, you know, it's very
except
similar.
Except much lamer because model trains move around and they make noise and they're cool.
Well, you make your own noises.
But that's not cool. You know? I mean, you're not seriously considering going down this road, are you?
I was thinking about putting together a couple armies.
So here's the problem. All right, there's multiple problems. Number one, you've got to buy the items. Now, FASA, I believe, aren't they the ones that own that joint?
Games Workshop.
Games Workshop are notoriously, they're evil. They hate all game stores. And they hate you as a customer.
I've heard all those
They
things.
Don't want you to have any freedoms, that's for sure. And also, they want you to pay. Don't think you won't pay. You're going to pay tons.
Yeah.
And it's not like you buy, like, four guys, because that's not the way. They forbid that.
Yeah.
Battles start 100 and then work their way up to the large ones. And then once you buy them, then it's time to paint those suckers.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to sit around painting. Now, some people have a good steady hand. Not me. But some people do. And then once you get that done, then the third part is you got to have a scenario to where you could actually, like, have a thing to put the guys on, like a big map, right? And then lastly, you got to con some other sucker into playing you with his army.
Yeah.
That means some other guy has to do exactly something you did, spend all the money, do all that stuff.
There's a lot of steps involved, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
Really what I want to do is just build the Shire and just have my guys just enjoy life down there.
Remember every Christmas that your wife builds that nice little Christmas village?
Yeah, Christmas village.
And that stays up for a good while.
Yeah, we keep it up till about February.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Now, but I mean, eventually you're ready for that village to go, right? Now imagine if that village cost you several thousand dollars. You know what I mean? And then when it's time to put that thing up, you're like, put them in a box.
Well, I went on Reddit because there's a lot of talk about these sorts of things on Reddit.
You made a big mistake right there. You went on Reddit to get advice about this?
And I was like, how much does it cost to just kind of dip your toe in? And they're like, yeah, you can totally get everything you need to have a basic battle for around $700. And that gave me pause.
That's a basic battle.
It gave me pause.
And you want Mordor.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is more like the Battle of Scary Creek than the Mordor. You know what I mean? I mean, you're going to need a lot more jack for that. Mm. I mean, I will say, in the boat realm of stupid ideas, this is not even near the middle of the pack.
It is better than the inflatable boot.
Or welding.
Yeah,
your welding.
I did return all my welding equipment.
Did you ever break out the welding stuff and touch it in any way?
Well, I did. I took out the propane tank.
Yeah.
And I just imagined me connecting that welding torch to it.
Yeah.
And I thought about, because like what I whenever I do anything, I always just want to put my hands all over it.
Yeah.
And when you weld, you can't do that. You can't just immediately, like, because I was thinking about, like, my plan was I'm going to fix all my broken instruments, right?
Because yeah.
Everybody's got a ton of broken instruments in their band room. So you weld the stuff on there, but then I was thinking about, man, as soon as I weld it, I'm going to want to test it to see if it's still hot. So I'll give it the only thing. And then I was reading about how people can injure themselves because it's like super, super hot when you're welding.
Let me ask you a question. You are, how would you rate your welding ability?
Well, it's somewhat below my soldering ability.
So we'll call it a level that is named butt. Now, if I'm a kid in the band, the last thing I want to play is the tuba repaired by John Bonham Schaller with the bell all crooked and big globs of crud on it. You're going to sound like a freak and look like a geek.
There would be a lot of crud.
I mean, what instruments are you going to fix? And with what prowess did you think you could fix
these
things?
Well, that's another thing, because then I was like, well, boy, I'm going to have to get some real broken instruments to learn on. And that was like, maybe if I break my own instruments, then I can learn on
that those. Was an actual thought you had?
I'm going to break. That was dumb.
If you can't find enough instruments to work on, you probably don't need to weld them.
Yeah. And that's what led to my returning of all the stuff.
So, but the main reason was you were afraid you'd burn yourself.
Yeah. Because, I mean, whenever you got fire in your hands,
yeah.
I just want to be like, ooh. You know,
I got a question. How much does the welding stuff cost?
It was about $150.
So a lot less than what you're looking at for the Warhammer.
Yeah.
Now, you do paint.
Yeah.
The war figurines.
I do like
you find pleasure in that?
I do.
How many before it becomes a task?
Well, that's the thing, though. Like, I can do one, and then I'm good for several months.
Right. So pretend you're painting, say, 100.
Right.
How would that go?
I'd hate it, and I'd want to throw everything away.
And if you bring unpainted figures to the table, you're ostracized instantly.
Yeah.
Well, thing, it's funny you should mention that because since you mentioned that this game reminds you of that, the three main characters, they look straight. The one guy looks straight up out of Warhammer. Mm-hmm. It's a dead on.
I believe his name is Rib.
We'll have to get into the creativity of this game.
Let's
just
do
get
it,
to
man.
Them both.
Let's talk it.
My God. By the way, don't buy those.
Okay.
Don't be an idiot. That's one of the worst songs. It sounded like someone just recorded like a whining puppy walking on a piano, basically.
It's a stirring theme.
I heard people talking about the exquisite tunes in this. That ain't one of them.
No.
That's god awful, Boat. And we've played some bad music over the years, Boat.
And listen, speaking of bad music, we want to take a second before we begin this review.
How's this going to work? I already hear this.
And thank our patrons. If you would like to support Amigos, you can head on over to our Patreon page at patreon.com/AmigosPodcast. $4 a month gets you all you need. Gets you a magnet at the end of the year and gets you admission to our exclusive Discord server.
Plus, Boat will paint up to 100 figures
That's
of your
true.
Choice. That's part of the deal.
I want to just give a quick shout-out. Spinny08, Jack Calk, Richard Baker, Richard Smith, and Mash Pie. Thank you guys so much for being our patrons.
Yes, we love you. We love you very much. We appreciate that. Let's talk about this game, Boat.
Let's do it, man.
Had you heard of this one, Boatster?
Yeah.
You had?
No, that's a lie. Oh. I never heard of it. Skeleton Crew?
This is not... I've never even heard of this or played it on stream. Usually I've tried a little bit of everything wrong. We've been doing this for a long time, and they still keep popping these things out.
Especially given the developer, it's odd that we hadn't heard of
this. Yeah, because these are amongst the people that may crush you in a few months.
Mm.
So, Skeleton Crew... This is, by the way, Boat, it's an AGA-only release. You've got to have the 1200 or the CD32 to play this awesome bit of kit.
Or the 4000.
Or the 4000, yeah, pardon me, the 4000. This thing came out in 95. Can you imagine how happy the magazines were?
Oh, my gosh.
They probably fell over themselves.
If this didn't get straight 100, something's wrong.
So, again, this was put out by the old Core Design crew. It's their usual crew, coded by Jason Gosling, graphics by James Ryman, Heather Gibson, and the music, Martin Iveson. And the box art, which the box is kind of cool, Jay Ryman. This was a 35-pounder Boat. So
full-price game.
You're paying full price for this sucker. That's for darn sure. Again, this had a CD32 release, an A1200 release, and... was also on the Genie Sus. It was on the old Mega Drive as well. You said you had a look at that, so we'll talk about that in a little bit. An isometric I'd say an isometric shooter with some platform elements in the vein of, say, it reminded me sort of the, what's that Atari game, Attack of the Robot? What's the name of that?
Attack, Planet of the Robot Monsters.
That's it. That's what it reminded me. It was something in that ballpark.
Sure. I think that's probably its closest analog.
It's called the Skeleton Crew spelled with a K.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you looked in, you posted something quite amusing in the Discord and then had a quick look at the manual for this thing. You want to give the people a little taste?
This manual is the ultimate cool guy style manual.
Yeah.
It starts out with this comic. I've never looked at 2000 AD before.
Yeah.
But all I can think about when I think about that comic is like the writers falling all over themselves to try and out-cool the other guys.
The comic was stylized. Yeah. Let's put it that way. Yeah. You're talking about the drawings of the comic.
Style,
it did come
yeah.
with a cool comic, though. I mean, that's kind of neat.
And so you get this comic that outlines the story. The story is essentially that the bad guys have taken over the place that's known as Monster City. Okay.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. So they weigh, and your job is you and your fellow crew members are going to go and rid the city of these monsters and take down the big guy.
See, you're underselling this. I got to jump in
Please
here.
Do. All right.
Please because
do.
Number one, the thing that comes with it, it's not a comic. It's a comic, but with two Ks.
Ooh.
Okay. Two Ks. Okay. So the bad guy in this is named Moribund Cadaver with a K. You see this?
I wonder
thing
if that
here.
Was his given name.
So, Cadaver is a former mortician, and he's the leader of the Deadly Enforcement Aggressive Destruction Crew, or Dead Inc.
Man, they went all out for that anagram.
Don't worry, Monstro. See, it's monstrosity. You
oh,
get it?
Monstrosity.
You didn't get that?
No, Monstro.
The place used to be called Cryo City, but when the it went down, it was now it's Monstro City.
That's pretty clever. These bad guys, they've got brains.
It's not that clever. So they have a factory that produces psychogenics mutants. Psychogenics spelled psychogenix. That's as cool guy as you can get right there.
I want a shirt with
someone
that word
needs
on
to
it.
Be using that as their new name.
Yeah.
So guess what? Don't worry because it's time for your outfit to get sprung in action. The Skeleton Crew. Spine, rib, and the guy that will never pass the drug test, joint, are the guys that you've got going on this. These are the three characters that you've got. They're biomechanical soldiers. Now get this. Their upper bodies aren't connected to their lower bodies. They're sort of like old action figures.
Mm-hmm.
So they can spin completely around.
Yeah. Yeah.
Spine is sort of like the middle of the road guy. Then rib is the chick, and then joint is the big lumbering doofus type. Yeah, and this is your Skeleton Crew. Even your crew has a nickname. I can't remember it. It's so stupid, but they've got a name too. This is your mission. You've got to go stop this former mortician who's mutifying the whole city. That's the game plan. It's a 1-2 player game, so you can actually have two simultaneous players. I did watch a footage of somebody playing it like that, but we didn't get to play it like that ourselves. But from what I've read and seen, it's the exact same game. Exactly the same with like another guy, basically, or chick.
Right.
There's your game. We did mention this is an HEA only game, so just to start off, we've already heard the Haunting Love theme. The main menu is pretty. It's got an option 1-2 player. It's not much to it.
No.
And then your option screen, you get to pick your controls, which we're going to talk about that in a minute. And then this game comes up. There's not really a cool guy intro or anything.
I was really surprised that we didn't get all the good stuff is in the manual.
And even on the CD32 version, I was like, they've got to have some. No, they didn't have Jack.
Mm-hmm.
So this game comes up. Your initial thoughts on the look, the sound, what did you think?
This game looks great.
Yeah.
It looks like a console game. A console game maybe from a couple years earlier than 1995, but it moves, the animation is incredibly, incredibly smooth. The way that you fire is satisfying. The enemies all are well animated, they're well drawn. So my first impressions were positive on this one.
This game has 8-way scrolling. Everyone talked about how smooth it was, and the scrolling's smooth, but the guys aren't what I would call silky smooth.
You don't
they
think
sort of,
so?
No, I don't. Okay. I couldn't figure out what people thought that. They sort of lumber around with a few frames of animation. But, I mean, this is not like the smoothest character I've ever seen.
Okay.
So, this game has, you have two means of attack in this. You've got you've got your bullets, and then you've got these, like, grenades. You will never upgrade your weapon.
No.
Ever.
There's no power.
Ever.
Game.
The only thing you'll get is some cash, spell with a K, mm-hmm. that you can eventually get an extra man. That's what you get. So, you're stuck with these two weapons. But let's talk about the big thing, okay? The big thing is the controls of this game. So, we mentioned that the guy, your character, all the characters, whether you pick the chick or one of the guys, they all have the ability to basically torso twist like a mech, mm-hmm. okay? And you're thinking to yourself, this sounds great, you know, just like Robotron. No, it's not like Robotron. No. If you've got a one-button joystick, you're screwed.
Well,
you're screwed.
Yeah, there's two control options.
There's more than two.
Okay.
You've got your one button.
Right.
You've got your two button.
Right.
You've also got your gamepad.
Mm-hmm.
You've got those are your options right
but
there.
But the two button and the gamepad seem to me to be the same.
No, the gamepad gives you more than two buttons. Because I've tried every one of these.
Okay.
So most of the time I stuck with the two or more buttons. And here's how that works. So one button basically rotates your torso. On the C32 you can rotate it left and right and you can lock it in, and to lock it in a direction in, I'm not 100% sure how I did. I would hold down two buttons.
Yeah, well, you hold down one, and then you press the fire button, and then that
and then
locks
you also have a button that will also change your weapon from one to the other. Mm-hmm. There's a graphic on the screen that will flip over. You can hear it.
It's either shooter or...
It's grenades or shooter. Some games we play use the kind of goofy controls as a gameplay element, right? This game uses it. It's supposed to be helpful, I think.
Mm-hmm.
This gameplay element is garbage. It's hot garbage.
Yeah.
I hated it. I'm not going to say I got used to it because that's impossible, but I learned to almost function in the realm of the stupid controls. If you've got one button, you're using your one button to like do like three or four things.
Well, you can use, there's a control scheme where you don't have to rotate yourself to fire in different directions.
That's
the control scheme that I used. I don't know if that was one or two,
uh-huh.
but there's one that you described, and there's another one where you point your gun where you want it to go, and it goes there, and then you can shoot. And that's what I used because, like you said, I can see how in development people were losing their minds saying this is going to be wonderful. We can have our guy rotate, but here's the thing, you cannot control the speed of your rotation in this game. And so if you've got an enemy that's just off your line of fire, you have to wait for your guy to slowly rotate,
yeah.
and then by that time you've got guys coming from all the different directions.
That's one of the advantages C32 has where because playing with two buttons, you sort of just rotate in a direction. You can sort of pick the direction. And also, C32 uses the extra, at least two more buttons for mundanity. I mean, trust, it sucks too. Don't get me wrong. But I'm saying, pick your poison. What I would like to have done is had this thing let you use two separate sticks.
Mm-hmm.
When I first got this, I thought you could. I was like, okay, I'm going to set this up to have two one-player sticks. And I can, no, you can't. And the thing is, it functions more what is that game? Heavy Barrel. Mm-hmm. It's what you know how the Heavy Barrel has that segmented.
Yeah.
That would be perfect for this game.
A
segmented rotating
because
joystick.
It's all about the speed of your rotation. With Heavy Barrel, you can whip that thing around.
Well, I mean,
and
it's
face
not.
So,
it, the Heavy Barrel is a segmented.
Well, yeah, but you can.
But
still,
you can spin it pretty quickly. You can't. Yeah, yeah. It's way better than this.
It's not like the Tempest Spinner, but
no,
you can. But
no.
you can. But you can just flip yourself around.
Even the Tron joystick would work with this.
Yeah.
You could use that. But the thing is, this guy moves in a segmented way, whereas in Tron, your arm just spins around like a, you know, like you're a cheerleader.
In the most ridiculous way, yeah.
But I mean, it works. You know, I love that game. You know, and also Tron has the joystick with the built-in buttons.
Mm.
That would work too. So, well, let's put it this way. Every control scheme you can think of on the Amiga, it's going to stink.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you can't get good at it. Like, people play Turk, and it's kind of a wacky firing mechanism. Now, me and you aren't the best at it, but people clearly have gotten used to this, but I don't number myself amongst them. You also jump in this, okay? Me and Bo have played enough of these isometric games to know that jumping is always interesting.
Mm-hmm.
In this game, oh, it's interesting, all right, because it's like herding cats. You're running. You're trying to line your guy up to jump. Your torso's going bananas. You're trying to, and your guy doesn't really jump that high. He just sort of skips.
Yeah,
you know, he's a skipper. This guy.
This is the one thing in this game that I have no idea why they included, because your jump, like you said, is very small.
Yeah,
you only use it to navigate terrain. There's no real platforming. You never have an opportunity to fall to your death. What they should have done is done what they did in the Zelda game for the N64, where you just automatically jump. You just approach a thing and you just jump it.
Yeah.
Because the jump in this game is useless, and it's not included. I have a feeling that they had grand designs for incorporating this jump scheme that they just didn't have time to do.
So I'm just going to go ahead. Here's my theory. I don't think I'm the first person to come up with this theory, but I think it's a sound theory. And the theory is, Core Design, this was Core Design's last Amiga game. Like they had one foot out the door, and the other foot was holding the door open so they could get their hiney out.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, you know what? Old Skeleton Crew here is going to be a half job.
Right.
Everything about this screams, we didn't get this done.
Yeah. All right.
And the preview versions of this, And what I read about the previews and the demos is they had multiple weapons,
mm-hmm.
they had vehicles in it,
mm-hmm.
they had multiple bosses,
yeah,
they had all kinds of crap. And even the Mega Drive version, it's got stuff that the Amiga didn't have. It's got one extra level, it's got extra end bosses
mm-hmm.
that we didn't get. In the early demos and the previews, the guys had like were different. The characters were like, basically they're not entirely the same. One's faster, one's slower, but they're basically not that different.
Yeah.
You know, where they were going to be different. And there's no cool, like you got CD32, you can't have some kind of awesome intro, something like that going on. I think they sped this thing out the door. They were already out the door. It's 1995, and you're releasing this thing on everything is dead. It's mm-hmm. dead. Mm-hmm. So you're wasting your time. You know you're not going to make any money on this thing. That's why they've got the Genesis version out, and they were gone. And I think they skimped everywhere they could. The funny thing about this game is when you play the first level, and you probably notice this too. So the first level, I'm trying to figure out, the very first time I played this, I'm trying to figure out what's going on. I'm running around, trying to figure out how to shoot. And it occurs to me, I could just run past almost everything on this level.
That's right.
Which I did.
That's right.
And then you get to the end boss. I'm like, oh, an end boss. Well, the end boss is a big ship mm-hmm. you fight. It's nothing to write home about.
It's a big guy's face.
I thought it was a big ship. But he's got a cutting laser. But you mm-hmm. can get to the point. You can get to a point on the screen where he can't hit you with mm-hmm. anything. And you just unload. You go to the other side and unload. He dies.
Mm-hmm.
And unceremoniously, he's dead.
Like, he doesn't even die on screen.
He just kind of he just goes away. I assume he died. He may have just landed somewhere off screen. But the point of this is the first level is the most fleshed out level in a lot
absolutely.
Of ways. Because I, by the way, I did not beat this game. I got well into it, but I didn't beat it. I just didn't beat it. I watched it played till the end, and from the parts I didn't get to, the second level of this is the most bizarre. This is where you can see the skimpings going on, because it's a level where you're on, like, again, much like Heavy Barrel, you're into like what they say is like a lift.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a square.
It's
very you're in water.
Similar, it's very similar to those padding out levels that you find on the beat 'em ups.
Right. Well, Heavy Barrel has got a level where you're on an elevator. Mm-hmm. A lot of games do Final Fight does, but this one they don't even flesh out. It's just like a square full of water mm-hmm. in like a void.
Yeah. And why is there water in the lift to begin with?
Don't know.
Yeah.
And stuff shoots you, like three things appear and they shoot at you. Something else you could have trouble with in this game is just lining up your shots. Even once you get locked in, it's hard to hit stuff, especially in that lift. It's all because it's not on this. It's not part of the play area. They're off the play area in like the void.
Mm-hmm.
And then occasionally the lift will stop, and you'll go through a door. And then you'll be in an area where you're fighting these things that are underwater. And so you have to drop a bunch of grenades.
But all you're doing, the only strategy is just drop grenades as fast as you can.
And run around like an idiot.
Yeah.
That's all you can do.
Yeah.
But I guess what I'm saying is these levels aren't fun. There's too many of these in a row. And they're totally different from the first level.
Mm-hmm.
You're introducing this on the second level. Like, why here?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Did you get that feeling?
And also, at the end of the third level, you go through a door. And that's the end of the level.
Yeah.
Every other level, when you get to the end of the level, the game just fades out. It's like, all right, you're going to the jungle next, and then it fades back in. They didn't even code in real level endings.
There's not even, there's no boss.
Yeah,
I think there were supposed to be bosses at the end of these levels.
This screams, A, we ran out of money. B, we ran out of time. C, we don't care. Or D, a combination of all.
I think it's, I'm sure most of it was C. Mm-hmm. I think core design, my guess is they designed this. And I read somewhere they said the reason they didn't have all the stuff, they're supposed to have a bunch of additional voices in it. There's supposed to be a bunch of voice work in it. And I read that they recorded the voice. This is core designer here. They recorded the voices like at their meeting table. Mm-hmm. I guess it's a bunch of them got together and recorded a bunch of crap. Like none of that made the Amiga version. A level didn't make the Amiga version. Some end bosses didn't make the Amiga version. And my guess, and they said it was for memory purposes. Well, we all know that's crap.
Right.
And they had plenty of room on the CD, so we know that's crap, right? Mm-hmm. So I think they made this for the Genesis, and then the Amiga version was like the, afterthought.
Well, no, because the Genesis version doesn't have, I mean, it's got more stuff, but not that much more stuff.
It still I didn't say it was a good game.
Yeah, it still doesn't feel like a finished product, and I will say, I like the way the Amiga version looks better. The screen looks stretched. On the Genesis version,
yeah,
the pixels just don't look right. The game, if you're gonna, the best looking version of the game is still definitely the Amiga version, which is saying something.
Well, yeah, it's still, yeah, and the thing is, it looks, it's AGA, okay. Am I seeing, I guess maybe the scrolling on the levels?
It's got to be the scroll.
But I mean, it's not like the graphics are like. I mean, they're okay. They're not bad, but I mean, they're not like, I looked at some of the reviews because the reviews of this are all over the map.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it looks pretty good, but it's not like like mind blowing or anything.
Right.
I think they were trying to go for like a, maybe like their own like Alien Breed type game.
Yeah.
You know, and, but Alien Breed, I mean, I know you're not the biggest fan of that, but they put a lot of time and effort into that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a popular series and they kept adding more stuff to it. Like, this is like the beta for the very first Alien Breed,
yeah.
Except it's 1995. Well, there's only been five Alien Breeds.
This is like the beta for Skeleton Crew. I mean, well, it's an unfinished game.
You're not wrong, Bode. You're not wrong. I was disappointed in the makeup of the levels. Like I said, I thought the first level was by far. I think this was a game they thought we're going to put our best foot forward. Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you the first level is what they put on the demo disc, everybody got hyped for it.
I'm just saying, and by the way, I read there was a ton of hype for this. Like, people were real excited because it was 1995. But, I mean, if you look at the other levels, they're pretty generic.
Yeah.
And you don't see that much variance in the bad guys either.
Mm-hmm.
But really, I mean, I could look past all that because I could get into an isometric game. The core of this game I was okay with. I was sort of excited when it came up, when I saw what it was. But it just... It's boring.
Yeah,
there's no collectibles.
Well,
there's no upgrades. The bad guys don't change. The backgrounds don't get any better than the first level.
Right.
There's nothing to look forward to.
There's a couple things. One thing that I'd add is you need to have some non-combatant NPCs in this game. You need to have some civilians. If you're out trying to rescue this city, why not have some guys that you can free? You know, it's the old tied-up hostage
trip. The old Indiana Jones and Temple of Doom routine.
Exactly.
So, listen... Or a mission.
Mm-hmm.
Anything would have helped.
Yeah.
Like in this game, you go around. The only things you can really pick up are like cash.
The bucks.
And then there's these other things. I don't know what they are. But they don't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Except eventually you get an extra man.
Mm-hmm.
When you die in this, you got to start the whole level over, which is the that sucks.
Yeah.
Did you try the old infinite guy trick?
No.
I did. I did try the infinite guy trick. But the version of this I had, the infinite guy trick didn't work. Once you got to the elevator level. Mm. So then I had to use the infinite life trick and the level select.
Mm.
And then I could play on. So I did that for a little while. But the main problem with this is just I didn't think it was that much fun.
Yeah, I mean...
Every level was like, okay, you have to go shoot like... You have to go shoot like a generator. You have to go shoot like some sort of thing that controls your entry to the next level. So and something else, the geometry of it, it was okay. But I mean, it's just squares. You know, it's not anything to write home about.
Right.
I mean, I expected more. And the thing is, when you limit your game to an isometric game that everything's based on square tiles, you've limited the game a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what do? Well, you make up for that by making a lot more interesting tiles, a lot more interesting backgrounds, a lot more... There's no reason why this doesn't have pickups, more interesting scenery, more end. We know they can do one huge end boss.
Right.
I think, as far as I could tell, having watched this, there's one end boss, the very first level, and then the end of the game guy. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's anything else.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah. So what are we? That's all you could take from it. They did a half job on it. It's funny, the reviews, as I mentioned, they're sort of all over the map on this thing. The Lemon people give this, it's funny, I was talking to Bud before the show. So Lemon gives the AGA version of this for the 1200 a 6.94. They give the CD32 version a 6.5. They give it like a less version, which is funny.
It's probably just there's fewer
I read votes. I read that the CD32 version was 5 pounds more.
Oh, okay.
So it's
a CD game. It's got to be more.
Oh, yeah. again, if anyone ever says, hey, I wonder why that thing failed, right. You know, there's a good reason. So I'm looking at these reviews. The top review I saw was from CU Amiga, and they're, by the way, they're known to be a little bit overinflated on their stuff. They give it an 83, but like I read Amiga Format's review, they give it a 33. Like, they killed this game.
Interesting. That seems super low.
You know what they said? This doesn't seem finished. So I mean, it's like
can't argue with it.
You know, it's like, and also these controls stink. But I mean, again, look at these scores. Amiga Power 59. All right, that's low, right? The ones, 44, right? So these are low scores. But then you've got AUI, 82. Amiga Joker, 75. Joker.
Interesting.
Gave this a 75. So the scores are all over the map. The average magazine score, according to Lemon, our good buddies at Lemon, 67%, which is... Yes, I would say this is somewhere now. I would agree with that.
I disagree completely.
You think it's higher than that?
Even in its unfinished state, this is still a very playable game.
I think keep in mind, these are reviews that were contemporary when this was released. Okay, I can see why these guys would be upset.
Sure,
it's 1995. Mm-hmm. Your buddy's playing all kinds of awesome stuff, and you show up with this. Mm-hmm. You're going to look like a geek.
Yeah.
And I think, and we look back, I mean, you're a lot like me. Yes. Looking back on this now, if you look at this, if you throw this in with all the other Amiga, some big schmoz, mm-hmm. That's okay. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you can see why the reviews were so low back then. But I mean, at the most I would give it, like, say, a 70. I can't go any higher than that. I mean, personally, I don't like it. It's boring.
It is.
And the controls, I would rather just have the guy shoot straight forward.
Well, that's
the thing. Or, you know what would have been good is and we've seen this in a few games, the old keyboard mouse combo would have worked. If you could use, you could rotate with the mouse, would be okay. I'd be okay with that.
But if you use, I think you didn't spend enough time with the one button stick configuration.
Well, I mean, I didn't spend a ton of time with it.
That's essentially what you do.
But I mean, that ruins the game. I mean, that's part of the rotating. It's supposed to be part of the game. Well, did you need to rotate when you played it?
No, because if you play with the one button stick, you point your guy in the direction you want to shoot and you shoot.
But I mean, they built the levels for that, and you could see how you could use it. But I mean, could you get away?
Your rotation speed is so slow that it takes away any of the functions.
Normally, I just walk around like a drunk with a machine gun, just spinning just around, going like, you know. Do we get any Discord action on this boat?
We did. Pajaco 6502 writes, as a fan of Escape from the Planet of the Robot Monsters, was hoping for a similar game. Disappointingly not. Once you've played a couple levels of this very short game, you've seen everything that Skeleton Crew has to offer. It's punishingly difficult, probably to mask the short game length. I needed infinite lives on my second playthrough, as by the end I was losing lives every few seconds during every heavy action moments, and continues are stingy. At least let me switch characters. When the game launched, weapons upgrades were commonplace. Here we have no upgrade system. We have cash pickups, but they're just for score, so they don't really offer anything. The control system is awkward, but does the job on two buttons. You get used to it, but I found myself messing up in hectic situations and having to fiddle with the controls to get back to the shooting where I wanted. The intro music on the Amiga gave off Cypress Hill vibes, which was cool, but even in 1995, we get no in-game tunes again. Side note, the CD32 version has the same music in-game, and it really doesn't work. The Mega Drive music is better suited. And who names Bad A characters Rib and Joint? Couldn't they come up with better names? Skull, Mandible, or Thorax, maybe? However, That said, it's pretty to look at, and against the Mega Drive, it holds its own, but sadly as a game, Skeleton Crew has no meat, and you'll be left hungry for gameplay. 4 out of 10.
Yeah, well...
Jocko, another excellent review.
By the way, a little extra tidbit I forgot to mention. We were talking about the box art. The guy that worked on this, and this, I want to thank, I love hardcore games. It's called Hardcore 101, if you've been to that website. Great stuff over there.
Yeah, Hardcore 101.
He mentioned this. The art on this, the box art and all the art and the manual and stuff was made by this James Ryman, and he's famous. He did illustrations for Magic the Gathering and the World of Warcraft card game.
Interesting.
So that's kind of neat. Anyway, yeah, this was a dud, Boat. I was disappointed. And I mean, it's not the worst that we played, not even close. But it's just, when you have a game that, like, this is the kind of game that would appeal to me. I mean, also, it is way too cool, guy. Like, reading that manual dropped at several points. I read the manual after you mentioned it, and the comic. And the comic art reminds me of comic art that I don't like. Mm-hmm. I don't like that super stylized pencil art junk. I just don't like it.
Yeah.
People loved it back then.
Oh, yeah.
You know, people love, like, New Mutants and stuff. I hated that. Mm-hmm. I'm a traditionalist when it comes to comic book art. So, but you can't win them all, Boat. So, any final thoughts on this one?
Listen, this is a game that somebody should take up the mantle, you know, tighten up the levels on Graphic 6, add some end bosses, throw in some tunes, and finish this thing up.
Nah, it ain't worth it.
If you ask any Amiga repair technician what the most problematic component of a motherboard is, they'll undoubtedly mention capacitors. The electrolytic capacitors that shipped with the Amiga are 30 years old or older at this point, and each one is a ticking time bomb waiting to explode battery acid all over your motherboard, sometimes damaging it irrevocably. Don't wait. Replace your capacitors now. Full capacitor kits for every Amiga model are available now at retrorewind.ca. Don't want to attempt the repair yourself? Use their white glove recap service and leave the intricate removal and soldering process to the professionals using industry standard equipment. Use the promo code AMIGOS10 at checkout and save 10% off your cap kit or service. Remember, make retrorewind.ca your first stop for all your Commodore computer needs.
Amiga News.
All right, folks, time to settle in, because this week it's a smorgasbord of Amiga news.
It's the exact opposite of the last couple of weeks.
That's
we haven't had Jack Squat.
That's right. Our first big story is there is a brand new issue of Amiga Addict out.
I see that. You get
right
it?
Now I see that, because it's an eye on the cover.
That's it.
You know, this cover celebrates the celebration of pop art. What do you think about old pop art, Aaron?
Well, I mean,
Warhol, all that stuff.
Hey, listen, I'm glad somebody enjoys that sort of thing. You know, the big cover thing, Scala. It's like things I'm too dumb to do.
Yeah.
I've heard of it. I'm sure I've opened.
So if you were a young computer magazine buying lad, and you were walking through and you saw your EGM, you saw your PC Gamer, and then you saw a magazine that was advertising Scala on the cover.
Yeah,
would you pick it up?
Well, I mean, if you look at what's in this. I would, because this, like, for example, this article here, Amy Fox, finally a proper web experience for the Amigas, I never heard of Amy Fox. I like, that's good reading right there. That's the kind of tidbit you can get from this thing, plus some game reviews. It's always good.
Oh, yeah. Well,
look at the layout here, Bo.
Let me give you a rundown of what's in here.
Yeah, give it to me, man.
There's reviews of all kinds of games. Stuntman, Seymour, Alien Breed Special Edition 92.
Ooh.
There's some current game reviews, including Abbey of the Dead. You may know it by its French name, La Mort d'Arthur. And
did we
Spirit
play that?
Warrior. Yeah,
I think we played that.
Yeah,
we?
I think that was an ARG thing.
Yeah.
I think you guys did. There's also an interview with Alistair Brimble, Aaron.
The Brim?
The
Holy
That's
smokes.
Right. That's right.
How'd they get that guy?
Listen, when you're an Amiga addict, all doors are open to you. So, this is a must-read issue.
Bam. Yeah. They did an article on Time Freaking Bandit.
That's
this game no one's heard of until they added it to the Amiga Mini, you know, E500 Mini. But, like, we know about it from the Coco. And the Amigaverse is double good. It's
That's
real
right.
good.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, make sure you check all that out this week at Amiga-Addict.com.
Yeah.
Check it out and subscribe.
Issue 28, the big one. Looks good.
Next up, Aaron, we've got a big, big new game release, Moon Patrol, Aaron. Now, tell us about your love for Moon Patrol, Aaron. Why do you like this game so much?
It's one of the first games I ever owned, Boat, back in the day. I had one that played blind, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, listen... Doom, 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 doom. It's got that cool tune.
It's got the best tune from early.
And the thing is, it's got multi-planar scrolling. Mm-hmm. I mean, sort of. It's just a fun game. Multiple levels. It's an all-time classic, in my opinion. And the fact that here's another one. Bring it. Give it to us. We had so much fun playing these ports and stuff at Amiga when we did Amigathon.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I'm down. I'm down with these.
Yeah.
Bring them on, man, and Moon Patrol. And the thing is, they've been porting a lot of stuff that we're not very good at or not necessarily our favorites. Like, this one is one of our favorites right here. We both like this game. So, this is a game I've always wondered why they didn't make, like, a really cool new version. And I believe the Intellivision Amico had a version of this that was going to be out.
I remember seeing that.
And I think there's a demo of it. I don't think they ever made a full game. Someone could correct me on that. But, like, yeah, Moon Patrol, great game. It's often imitated, but never fully duplicated. So that's great. Is this available right now? It is.
It is. It's ready to go.
Is this on the old Scorpion?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, it might be a transcode. I don't know. It's all the same to me. So, Aaron, next up, Moon Patrol's not the only game that came out this past week. We've got a new teaser for a game called Ecliptic.
Oh.
Yeah, Ecliptic, Aaron. This was programmed by Balder Beast.
But it's spelled
cool guy style with no vowels.
Is there any K's in there somehow? They need to work some in from now on.
You got to work some K's in. But this is this looks like a point-and-click puzzle adventure game. And so if that is your cup of tea, I'll give you the flavor text here. It says, despite being badly damaged and infested with alien monsters, if the technology on board this spaceship can mean a fresh start and bright future for the world. You have a team of three robots that's been sent to the spaceship Ecliptic. You guide them as they make repairs, clear out aliens, and overcome the onboard security systems. So this is a mixture of turn-based tactical combat and role-playing. Two of your favorite genres.
This actually, I'm looking at this. It's got a little sight, like a Fog of War type sight thing for your robots. The controls are interesting. This might be fun.
It's got an XCOM vibe.
You know what I like? I like a game with where everything on the screen, I can figure out what it is. And I'm looking over the screen. For the most part, I think I know what most of these little icons mean. That's dandy.
So this one is not out yet, but you can check out the current state in development from Indie Retro News.
That's dandy. Let's see here. It requires, it's only in PAL. We can get around that, though. Mega memory. Amiga 1200 with hard drive and fast RAM is ideal, but it doesn't say required. Of course, nowadays, listen, emulate everything, brother. That's the way I look at it. Or you get the mister, it'll do the job.
Now, Aaron, this next game, I've got a question for you.
All right.
You're really the only person that can solve this.
All right.
We're looking at Salties. This is a DOS Polish point-and-click adventure.
All right.
It's coming to the Amiga. You can see it's pulled up on the new screen right here, that screen cap. Roll back up to that screen cap.
All right.
Describe what you see on the screen here.
It looks like a dude at a farm, but I mean that's a hut.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a green wife beater, straw hat, and a pair of blue jeans, and looks like some boots, big buckle.
Now,
doghouse back there.
There's a caption here. Somebody's saying something. What do you think he's trying to say to this guy?
I don't know.
Well, I thought you could just kind of infer from the picture what might be going on. You're good at that sort of thing.
Well, he's probably saying, like, go feed the dog.
Go feed the dog. I think that's... So if you're interested in feeding the dog and you speak Polish, this is a game for you. Unfortunately...
I want to see this game in action.
Unfortunately, there doesn't appear to be any English language port in the works, but hey... If we can bring some more of these DOS point-and-click games to the Amiga, I know the world would be a better
place.
Holy
crap, his dog looks like it's invisible or something. Did you see that?
The
chain's like moving on its own.
It's the old invisible dog routine.
You know, is this the whole game on this screen? Like, is this like invisible dog owner? Holy crap, did you see that? Here he is working on this huge bus.
It's a very wide
This
vehicle.
Looks like a Hick Simulator. look at that, it is. Hick Simulator. I'm glad to see Poland got Hicks, too. We got this is going to be a huge hit in West Virginia. That looks interesting. Salties.
Now,
all right.
This next game, Aaron, is right up your alley.
Okay. The last game was up my alley.
Look at that. Krogar.
It's funny because I actually watched Amiga Bill play this on his stream the other day.
So tell us about it.
We've had the owner, the guys that made it on there. I mean, it's still in progress. But it's basically like, think if you had a scrolling barbarian. Now, I know you had Barbarian 2, which was a scrolling barbarian. But this is more like down to earth. This is less avant-garde than Barbarian 2.
I thought that said Krogar the Beer Seeker.
He's
looking for beer.
He is the Beer Zerker. That's what it says. He's the Beer Zerker, you see, because he drinks.
Boy.
I will say that the Beer Zerker looks a lot like there's a chick wrestler. And she, this guy looks just like her.
Are you talking about the Shield Maiden?
No. Wow. You brought that one out of nowhere. You can see there's a lot of beheadings in this.
Yeah, there is.
I saw them play this, and this is pretty much what they've got so far. I will say this, the scrolling in the background, there's some lovely background imagery there. Yeah. It's multi-layered, you know. You're cutting off more heads per minute than you'd ever did in any of the other games. But I remember when I was watching Bill play this, people in the comments were appalled that there weren't huge fountains of blood squirting out of their torsos. But I'm guessing that's going to be added in later. But still, they've got the bones of something pretty interesting here.
The best thing about this is it's an OCS game that will work for an A1000 and up.
Oh,
so
really?
No matter what you've got the jack.
The colors are a bit muted, but I think it's a stylistic choice. And I like where they're going. I believe at the end of this, it's like you come across a dragon, as I recall from seeing Amiga Bill play. Yeah, here it is. And he thanks you for playing the demo, which I like.
That's nice.
Isn't that sweet? But the cool dragon's kind of cool looking in a sweet sort of way. And at the end, you can just go bonkers, you know. And anything that involves beer is going to get over with the Amiga community.
That's right.
Beer, beheadings, it's the perfect combo.
It's the double B.
It's amazing how often that really happens in real life. You get liquored up, bam, beheaded 15 people.
Start swinging the sword. So, Aaron, next up, we have a technical article here that I'll need your help with. Figuring out. So if you scroll down the page, this is compatibility, how the Amiga is compatible. The next gen Amiga.
What language is this in,
Bo? Well, this is in Czech.
This is
going to be how the Amiga is compatible with all of these different kinds of operating systems. These are next gen Amigas. So if you scroll down here, there's a simple chart that explains how all these things work together. Just keep on scrolling. It's really more of a Venn diagram.
That's the chart?
So break that down for us, Aaron.
Well, it looks like that the Amiga OS 4.1 is orbiting the Warp 3D, the Mini GL, the I don't know what that, the Picasso. Those are
but
all.
Then you got the Eon Nova Bridge just sort of hovering outside the sphere.
I believe the Nova Bridge is some sort of like one of those, you know, those warp gates from Babylon 5 or something like that.
You just put that in your computer. And
now
you're
do you understand why Dickinson's computer is so expensive? This thing literally is. It's amazing. It has to do transdimensional stuff. I don't know what this is. I have no idea what the heck this is.
Well, if you're interested in what your next gen Amiga can and cannot do, then check out this technical article from Amiga Portal.
You remind me on last week we mentioned. We're trying to stay on top of this Amiga 4 stuff. And we had a response just today on the video. And the guy's like, listen, because I write a monthly report on what's going on with the Amiga 4. He's like, he didn't link it, but I guess you can find it. It's like the Amiga 4 monthly report.
Bam. Sign Level Lord up for that.
And I'm like, well, I'm sure Level Lord's probably one of the editors to it.
He probably writes it.
You know, but he says it's an exciting time, the guy said. So, and he said the reason the thing is so expensive, it's taken 10 years to get it out.
Oh, yeah.
That does explain a lot because it's 10-year-old technology or more. And it took a long time to get the bugs worked out.
Sure.
Theoretically, the thing you're getting now.
It's really a bargain.
The thing you're getting now is bug-free, though. I mean, that's a thing. I mean, theoretically.
Hopefully.
Yeah, they're bug-free.
Hopefully.
And some other people mentioned that they had like that the vampire standalone box. So there's some people have those. They're out there using them.
Sure.
So you've got that stuff. Like I said, drop us a note. I like to hear what's going on with it, you know. Maybe Bo will buy one.
Next up.
You can paint it.
I'll paint it. I'll put it in Mordor. So, Aaron, next up, we've got the brand new Amiga CD32 arcade stick. Now, I put this on here because these videos where people build arcade sticks are nothing new. But this guy...
You built one, right?
This guy goes beyond what most people do.
Yeah.
And he's actually scraping traces off an existing board.
Oh, yeah.
And
I've done that.
And this is... So, this is... He's really, really going all out. But at the end of this thing, He's created a joystick and a CD32 looking shell with its own, it seems to be, proprietary control board. This is much different than how I would go about doing things, but it gets the job done. And I'm curious about what the advantages are, since you've done the scraping of the traces. What advantage of that? What is that?
Well, in the art, I'll tell you when I did it. I've done it a couple of times. So like, it occurred to me one time that I should be playing Dreamcast games with my arcade machine.
Okay. Right?
So I took a couple of cheapo Dreamcast controllers, scraped off the land there so I could expose it, and soldered wires from that to my joystick button and buttons on the control panel. Mm. And so the Dreamcast just thinks the buttons are being pressed. All you're doing is opening and closing, you know, the gate there, and you can use it like that. I'm not sure what this guy's doing, but if he's, because it looked like he had a whole other board, so I don't know why he would need to do that.
He's got three or four boards in this.
Unless
in this
he's gonna, because the way I'm talking about it, you'd actually have to put the thing in.
See, he's got that. He's got multiple control boards.
The
in
thing
there.
I can't, I mean, the CD32 joystick is just an Atari joystick port.
Right.
You know, so to me, it seems like you could.
Why would you not just cut the DB9 port off and wire those?
Well, I've never tried to fiddle with the Amiga 32 CD32 sticks. Mm-hmm. You know, but I mean, it seems like you could just make an adapter.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess you'd have to have a joystick that works the same way. You know, the thing is, here's the thing about, okay, so this guy's going to put together a hot rod joystick for CD32. It's going to do it all right. So what game are you going to play with that? I mean, that's the thing with the CD32. You've got this joystick with all these buttons, but like, there's a handful of games you're gonna do much with them.
Yeah, he can fully control the CD player. That's
this guy, what you got here is a guy like who just is good. He's good at what's this guy's name, Bo? Do we know his name?
Yeah, this guy's name. This is a Retro is the New Black is the name of his channel.
Oh yeah, I've heard of that.
He's
yeah.
known as Wolfgang Kierdorf.
Oh man,
yeah,
man, our names suck compared to names like that. You know, but here he is. Wow. He needs to work on the graphics adapter after that. I don't know if that's supposed to look like that, but still, that's interesting. I'll have to watch this in full, and I'll get back to you on my thoughts on that.
Now, Aaron, our next story is a little update on BoatFest. BoatFest is officially 3 months away, man.
Is it like as of when?
As of yesterday.
No kidding, 3 months. We got plenty of time. Yeah. We can start working on it in about 2.5 months.
That's right. So if you are interested in visiting and being a part of West Virginia's largest vintage computer festival, please head on over to boatfest.info. Tickets are still available. We have over 50 tickets still left. Of course, the BoatFest Arena this year is massive compared to in years past.
Well, also the tickets, you don't usually sell the majority of them until like maybe a month or so out. So, yeah. But hey, you've sold more than normal this early.
That's right. So the tickets are $30 for the whole weekend. That gets you Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of nonstop retro
Sunday goodness. Should be a lot of fun this year, too. We're changing it up a little bit.
That's right. That's right. We're going to go over, have a nice cookout. We're going to have a good time. So it is in lovely downtown Hurricane, West Virginia. Again, at the social event space, we're going to have computers from all over the world and folks from all over the world in attendance. Plus, I think, Aaron, you're planning a special. Did I hear you say that you're going to bring your Dark Tower board game out of retirement?
No, I don't have a Dark Tower board game. I have the Dark Tower. That's all
you need, buddy.
You just put it on there,
you turn it on, you watch it.
We're going to have a featured table that's going to have all sorts of unusual things, video board games, electric football. We're going to have all kinds of weird stuff. Subudio. Mm-hmm. It's going to have all kinds of weird stuff. And every other hour, we'll swap it out, or every hour. And all going to be filmed.
It's going to be like after 15 minutes.
Yeah. It's all going to be. Well, yeah. Multiple people are going to try. So everybody will get a chance to do it. I'm hoping we're going to talk to all the attendees like I did last year. Mm-hmm. We're going to go around.
Have a little interview space, a special alcoves.
We're going to go around and shoot video of all the different exhibitors. We just heard from a guy today. We're hoping to get lined out. That's going to bring like a bunch of like weird Heath kits and stuff over here.
I can't wait for that. That's
so I've got to get in touch with him. But it should be a lot of fun. And it's always fun. And this year, no stairs and a huge, huge parking lot and a huge facility. Probably double as big as last year and with tons and tons of parking.
Yeah.
So it's going to be, and it's right down the street.
Yeah.
And that place that was empty last year that Mopus was over is now has a restaurant in it.
Right.
So it's
tons of eating options, plus our normal Boat Fest dinner plans, Whiskey Taco, Thai Fusion.
Oh, yeah. We get to go to Boat's restaurant, which we haven't done before. So that's going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, that's going to be a lot of fun, Boat.
All right, Aaron, this next bit of news comes to us from the one and only David Z.
The Z?
You know, Aaron, people have been clamoring for new reproduction cases for their A4000s.
Okay.
Their original, you know, A4000 towers, they're falling apart with age. These things are knocking on 40 years at this point. And what you really need...
is that true?
Yeah.
God.
And what you really need is a big old honking metal case. Metal, Aaron.
Metal.
It's the new plastic.
Yeah.
So these guys, you can buy an A4000 brand new case, pure metal. And you can put your Amiga in there and go to town.
You act like it's made of gold. Pure metal. None of that tin. This is straight up metal, yo. What kind of metal, Boat? The metal kind.
That's right. Heavy metal.
I mean, that looks, that's nice. That looks real nice.
Yeah. I mean, this is going to give your 4000 the build quality of an IBM XT machine.
It's like swapping out the chassis of your car or something. It's like unbelievable.
Yeah. So I'm looking for the price on here. I'm not sure exactly how much this is.
Look, here are the people that have already put in, they've got this. I wouldn't have put this on the main page, but here's everyone that's put in the deposit.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, that's a weird thing, but you can do that. This is over. You can check out all the details, amibay.com. I think he's not released the price because I think that it depends on how many people want one of these things.
That can't be cheap to produce with all that.
No way.
And we saw Dave also put some pictures up.
Take it back. Let me correct myself here.
Oh, yeah.
Price is £350. There's a 150-pound deposit required to make 10 for the viable run.
That's stunningly cheap.
That is.
If I'm honest.
When you consider Steven's case.
Well, that's a whole different gimmick.
But
there,
that thing was like $8,000 kabillion.
It wasn't a ton more than this, but it was a much more flexible case. But this is, if you've got an A4000 and your case is in rough shape.
You don't want it to be flexible. You want it to be metal.
Here's the thing. If you've got like an A4000, you've probably got bucks, brother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a $350. That's not that bad. And he also showed some like laser etched stuff that had the Amiga logos and stuff. It looked real nice too. I don't know if that's on the same guy.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the same guy or not. But anyway, there's tons of stuff happening in the A4000 community. You need to be part of it.
You know, it's funny. I look at the Amiga computer line. It's very, very similar to pinball in that, like, way back, like, or an arcade machine. Like, you could get, like, I was just talking to a guy the other night. He had a pinball machine, and I told him, I bought my WWF Royal Rumble. Me and Brent got it for $850, okay? Like, and that seemed like a ton of money when we got it. Like, it's probably triple that now.
Sure.
Like, like, all this stuff has blowed up. Mm-hmm. Arcade games that would go for, like, Flack talks about all the time, like, $50-$60. Now they're, like, $18 gajillion, these things. And the Amigas are even more collectible. They're easier to get around. You don't have to have a truck to, you know... This stuff's blowing up in price. So if you're one of these guys that have one of these things have some rust spots and stuff on it, 350 pounds, I'd buy one of these up in a heartbeat because your machine's going to go up in value exponentially over the years, you know? And they're never going to go down because they're not making anymore.
That's exactly right.
You know, it's crazy. I mean, I feel lucky to have what I got because I'm out. I can't get the... Where are you going to get that money?
Right.
You know, most of these suckers are wealthy. Like yourself, a big hat, restaurant, nice suit. I'm a t-shirt guy. I got the money.
Well, you got, who's that on your shirt there?
That's Switchblade, Jay White.
Is that you wearing that in appreciation of the Amiga game?
Oh, no. Oh, God, no. Now I'm going to burn this. Thanks, Boat.
And finally, Aaron, this was a last-minute addition at your request.
That's right.
Kim Justice is doing some Amiga stuff.
Okay, I'm going to put, this is a newsflash. And we do this a lot. We put over these YouTubers. And I love Kim Justice.
Me too.
If you're not down with Kim Justice, I don't know what to tell you. Like, I don't necessarily agree with Kim on all the stuff that she likes in terms of, like, for example, she loves Switchblade, which we hate.
Mm-hmm.
But she does some really good, like, lists and stuff. Lists are sort of the things she's been doing recently. And she went and she got an Amiga Power. And she went and looked at every game that Amiga Power ever listed at 10% or lower. This is right up my alley.
Oh, yeah.
And so many of these we've played. Huckleberry Hounds on there, for example, is one that we've played. There was a couple other ones I was like, oh, yeah. And she hasn't gotten it. I'm still in, like, the 3% area.
Mm.
But I'm like, I love this. It's just a little blurb about each game. It's great.
And she's great at these little capsule reviews.
She's outstanding. Yeah. And I'll also, listen, I know we're not a wrestling show, but she does wrestling. She used to, they used to be Patreon only, but now they're not because no one was watching them. Mm-hmm. She does some outstanding Japanese wrestling videos. She just did one last week on Stan Laird Hansen his Triple Crown run. If you're into Japanese wrestling at all, I met Stan Laird Hansen, by the way. Real nice guy. But like we saw him in Japan, he's a murderous death dealer.
Really?
Ultra Doom. Mm. Him and Bruiser Brody were a tag team. It's like the two, I mean, it's like Godzilla and King Kong came out. People are running for the doors. They just come right through the middle of the crowd. They're throwing chairs and whacking people with their hats.
Oh, wow.
It's insanity. Mm. But, I mean, it's an event. Mm-hmm. And she captures it. It's real good. So, if you're into wrestling, check out her wrestling stuff. But also, check this out. I love garbage games, as you know. And this was dead on. This is exactly... I haven't got to finish it yet. I've watched about half of it. But I've enjoyed it immensely. And plus... Amiga Power has a rep of being a fairly fair magazine for the most part. And looking at these rankings and ratings, I would say they've got it right. I will say it's a good thing that we don't cover that many football managers because there's a ton
there's a lot of reasons why that's
football
good.
And cricket managers out the yin yang. I was like, my God. Mm-hmm. And I look at these, I'm just like, if we ever had to cover something, like we covered one on the ZX, remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Where I got in trouble, sort of, right. Because I badmouthed it, and the guy with that wrote
Chris
it was
Toms,
in there.
Yeah.
But Mike I mean, I didn't badmouth it that bad. Yeah. But these things are brutal. But there's a ton of those in the bottom 10. So, yeah, if you're into that sort of thing, check her out. She does lots of good Amiga stuff, too, so give her a shot.
All right, and that one's going to do it.
Hey, but before we move on, one more quick plug.
Okay.
Pod Jam. We got to get this thing over,
Bo. That's right, man.
What's the address on that? Do you remember off the top of your head?
itch.io/jam/podjam2024.
I've heard a ton of people like, listen, I got something cooking. All right. Well, I want some action on Pod Jam. Because I'm almost out of stuff to listen to. I got 2 weeks. I'm off the road. Mm-hmm. By the time the 2 weeks are over, I'm hoping some people out there have entered Pod Jam. We're giving away prizes thanks to Frank at Retro Rewind. First place was a $50 gift card for Richard Rewind, and second and third place get $25.
Mm-hmm.
Even, you know, my buddy works in American Legion, okay? It's a story time. So they give away money for the speech writing contest for these kids, right? And then the kid goes on to, like, compete in the state.
Right.
So they had one kid come in, all right? And my buddy said the speech was horrible. The kid sucked. The parents were there. They were my buddy just buried this kid. Listen, what you don't know what you're talking about, you know. And he helped the kid, give him some creative pointers and stuff. But the speech was horrible, right? Horrible. The dirt worst, right? They gave this kid $1,600. Bam. The
Cash
only
on the
entry.
Then.
The only entry. Yeah. $1,600. He was the worst one. Mm-hmm. The only one. If you're like, man, I'm going to put a podcast together, it's going to suck. It's not. Number one. And number two. Get in there. You might just get some gift cards. You know, you might be just, you only have the top three, you get some action. And me and Bo don't count. We just stuck one in there for fun. Get yourself some money.
That's right.
Just
free
get
money.
In there.
Free
you know,
money.
So I guess that's not the best plug.
Yeah. Because we don't think you're going to suck like that kid.
No.
I would not have told that story.
No, listen, that's not what I mean. The thing is, don't worry. About how, if you don't think you've got the chops, you do have the chops, but just put together something you like, put it in there, and at the bare minimum, you can win a few bucks.
That's
right. All I'm saying.
As they say, dreams can come true.
Oh,
it
man.
Can happen to
Thank God you.
You
didn't put the podcast together where you
West
sang.
West Virginia Lottery.
Man. You remember when we used to sing all the Patreons? I'm so glad that's over. It just reminded me how bad it was. Let's see what we're playing next week, but
okay,
enough
man.
Of this crap. It's the risky business. Mm. It's Risky Woods, Bo.
That's right.
That's my Dusty Rhodes, by the way. You know, you didn't get it?
Uh-uh.
You get him and Harley Race confused real
well,
bad.
Which one is the guy that I thought it was?
Dusty Rhodes is the fat, tubby son of a plumber.
What one is the Hard Times?
That's Dusty Rhodes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
He used to call himself the Risky Business Boy.
Really?
So
he had multiple angles.
Oh, he tons. He did a bunch of stuff. But Risky Woods, I've got no idea what this is. Do you?
It's probably not a wrestling game.
Oh, do you think it's... I don't know what week it is.
It's platformer week.
Oh, man. Well, I'm sure it'll be great, Boat.
Unfortunately, I'm going to be out next week.
Oh,
I've got a guest conducting appearance. So the Brent will be taking the helm to do some risky woods.
Yeah, we'll be back in here on Friday. I don't know if we're going to double up again or not. I'll have to talk to him, but we're definitely going to do some Amigos action. The last time that Brent filled in, I thought he did a pretty good job.
He did great. I loved it.
After a decade of practice, he's finally getting there, Bo.
Yeah.
Under my watchful eye.
Your tutelage.
He's killing me. If you've watched ARG, he picks all the good games and mine are duds.
Well.
You know? So I don't. Maybe he's tutoring me. Good luck, pal.
All right, guys. Thanks as always for listening. And we will see you next week. Until then, adios.
Amigos is made possible by contributions from listeners like you. Patreon supporters help choose the games we play, receive exclusive magnets, and get access to the Amigos Retro Gaming Discord server. Visit patreon.com/amigospodcast if you'd like to support the show and join our community.